Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. Thank God. Thank God my old self was crucified with him. Thank God. In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, that's wonderful. Thank you. You know, that's one of my favorite passages. I have several, but it's one of my favorite. You can go. Okay. It's one of my favorite because God begins to explain in his word what happened to me when Jesus died on the cross and what happened to you when Jesus died on the cross. The whole thing about us being new people and then the old self has died. Many of us try to resurrect him, but it ain't going to happen. Because we have died with him, and not only have we died and been buried with him, we are risen with him in newness of life. We are new creations. God wants us to understand that he is consumed with living. Because he is life. He is love. He is consumed with living. God does not look to us to be to have a relationship with him that is present past. He wants us to have the present future. That's what he desires. He does not want us to live in the past. He does not want us to be connected to the past in such a way that it governs our life. That's the reason this passage is here. It says, you need to understand. He said, do you not know this? We need to know that when we died, when he died, we died. And when he was buried, we were buried with him. And when he was resurrected, we was raised with him into newness of life. And we are a new creation. We are a new creature in him. So his relationship with us is one that's of living, overwhelmed with living. And he wants us to be conscious of the fact that we are living in him and he is in us. And he's done the work that it took to be able to take you from a place of darkness and sin and muck and mire and everything that was negative and everything that was bad and everything that was so controlling our lives, being slaves to it. And he said, "Up, I have set you free now." Through what he did. He wants us to be able to see him as a present God and a future God. He is everywhere. He's in our past too. but you will not be able to live in your past and be going forward in your future along with him. The enemy will whisper in your ear about how bad you really are and how you shouldn't have done this, or do you remember when you did this, or do you remember when you did that, do you remember when you sinned, when you failed, when you treated, when you said, all of the things. He loves to remind you of that because he fears you and I entering in to a place of present future with God, because he knows he has no control over that. None. The power of sin has been, say the word, broken. Say it out loud, broken. The power of sin has been, say it again. See, it has no power over you anymore. But the enemy wants to remind you of sins that you've done, sins that you've been involved in, just all of this stuff that he wants to hold us back, because he does not want us to see God as a God who looks into the future and takes us there that is beyond our wildest imaginations. Why? Because the enemy knows that his kingdom of darkness cannot handle the light. And as long as you and I see who we truly are in him and who he truly is inside us, and us being the light of the world and the deposit that he's put in us. And the song just touched my heart earlier. Your holy presence living in me. We don't need to lose sight of that. He wants us to realize that he sees you as you are, and he speaks to you as you currently are. But God also sees you as you're going to be. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a version of you that is coming that is a lot better than what we see. Tell them. That's true. There's a version of you that is better than what you currently are. God sees it. God knows it. And some of you said, thank God there's a better. Thank God there's a better version of me that's on the way. Why? Because that's who he is. He speaks to us where we currently are. And he provides everything that we need for where we're going and what we are becoming. For we are becoming like him, not just in one aspect, but in all aspects of who Jesus is. He wants us to understand that he's got this. No matter what the earth or this world system throws at you, he's got it. And he has put you, can you imagine, how many of you know that the days are a lot darker than it used to be with the darkness, with the presence of darkness, and how things are turning and rising up against the things of God in such a way that we don't even know if we're either female or male anymore. Are you hearing me? I mean, it's gotten so bad and gotten so dark, but can you imagine him saving you and I for this moment in time when he could have chosen anybody else to be here on this earth at this particular time? But he chose you, Chris. He chose you. It's good to have you today. That's Henry Ann's son. It's Chris. I'm sorry? What? Curtis. Curtis. Well, listen, I call Sean Shane. So you can be Chris and Curtis, I guess. I was close. It started with a K. I mean a C. I'm messing with you. Get back on track, right? Curtis, is that right? Curtis, he chose you to be here on this earth at this point in time. Now, I know all of us have said, you know, probably if he had put some like the Spurgeons and all this right now, it probably would have been, he chose you. He chose you to be here on this earth at this moment of darkness. Why? Because he knows he can do it. He knows he can do it through you. I didn't say he knows you can do it. He said he knows he can do it through you. He can accomplish what needs to be accomplished with the light and the glory of who he is through you. He just needs us to say, yes, here I am. You know, a lot of people think Jesus was God. Listen to me now. I didn't stop there. Jesus was God pretending to be a man. No. He was 100% man. Under the submission and being subject to the Holy Spirit. 100% man being subject to the Holy Spirit. Why? Why would he do that? He never stopped being God. He just didn't use it. Why? Because we can't use that card. But we can use being human. And all he showed, he modeled us how 100% man could be subject and submitted to the Father and the Holy Spirit. He can do it through you. I'm telling you, he can. There's a place over in Genesis. The question is, if we are where we are today and there's a better version, how do we get there? Over in Genesis, you remember this, Genesis chapter 18. For years now, God has been telling Abraham that he's going to have a son, even though he's 100 years old, even though his wife is beyond childbearing. And he said, he's been telling him, you're going to have a son, you're going to have a son, you're going to have a son. And Abraham continues to try to do it his own way of making what God promised come true. We sometimes do that. We try to force things, do it man's way, in order to prove that God's not wrong. Well, God's not wrong whether you try to do it your way or not. God's not wrong. But he kept telling him. But chapter 18, there's a hint of where I'm going today, probably in the next couple of weeks as well, but at least I know another week. But in chapter 18, it talks about the Lord comes to visit, and he comes with two angels, because there's three men. There's three that comes, and one of them is the Lord. And they show up, and when he saw them, Abraham saw them at the tent of the door, he bowed before the earth and he said this, O Lord, if now I have found favor, everybody say the word favor. If now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Something's happened with Abraham. God's been speaking to him about all of this stuff, about him having the child and he's going to produce the child through another means other than Sarah. But now something's happened. He begins to see something. He begins to see favor. He sees it. Then he says, I have found the favor. I see the favor of God. And then he begins to tell Sarah, you know, he tells them, he said, sit down and I'm going to bring you some water. I'm going to bring you some bread and we'll bring you some meat. And he goes and tells Sarah, get the pots ready. Why? There's favor. There's favor. There is favor in our presence. And this is also when they also say, Sarah's going to have, when we, by this time next year, when we come back, Sarah's going to have a child. a son. And she laughs to herself. She laughs outside the tent. And we really give her a hard time, but the chapter earlier, Abraham was told, and he fell on the ground laughing. No! Oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm 100 years old. Yeah, he laughed too. But he sees something different. He begins to be conscious of favor. The favor of God. Anyway, in the story, she begins to prepare him, and he gives them something to eat. And then they tell him that Sarah's going to have a baby and all that. She laughs, and they actually said, why does she laugh? But it also says this. In verse 16, it said, the men rose up from there. Here's the two angels and the Lord rising up, and they're going to leave. And it said that Abraham started walking with them. So Abraham's walking with them, and a conversation starts up that is not spoken to Abraham. It is the Lord speaking to the other two men that's with him. Very interesting. Abraham's walking with them as he's to go send them off, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham? So he's not talking to Abraham. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, shall I hide from him what I'm about to do? Because he's going to become a great and mighty nation. This is a guy who can't trust God enough with the word, in this case, about Sarah having a baby, and he has to do it man's way. But all of a sudden, God sees him. God sees another version of who he is and who he is becoming. And it's produced by favor. Shall I not tell him that he's going to be a father of nations and he's going to be blessed on this earth? For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. I've chosen him. Everybody say, he chose him. Now you can say that, he chose me. Say that about yourself, he chose me. See, and Pastor John said it so good the other week, you know, he said, you know, we often say that, you know, I found the Lord. Well, he found you. I chose him. And he goes on, he says, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Think about that. In order that he may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. What has God spoken about you? You can read the scriptures and find out so much that God has spoken about you. And yet we still remain the same in our Christian walk, even though we've been saved for so many years. And I can tell you, I can declare to you today, it's because of a disconnection of knowing God's favor. It was when Abraham recognized the favor of God, the goodness, the overwhelming goodness of God, the overflowing goodness of God. When he saw that, he said, oh, wait. And see, when he saw it, it moved him to take action. And that's what favor does. Favor will move you to take action. You know, it's, you know, in the Bible, you see where it says there were Canaanites, the Ites, you know, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Moabites, the Jebusites, and so on and so forth. They didn't have termites, but they had the other, but the Jebusites and all those are the Ites. What that was, it was saying that Ite was the description of a person, the person who is connected to the front part of this word. So a Canaanite was a person that is connected to Canaan. Moabites, A person, the person that is connected to Moab. So that's who they are. Now, here's the reason I bring that up. I'm a favorite. We call it favorite. F-A-V-O-R-I-T-E. We call it favorite, but I'm his favorite. I'm declaring to you today that I'm his favorite. Now, what y'all got to say about that? See, and why is that? Because I am a person who is connected to his favor. I am a person of favor, the favor of God. And he calls me his favorite. He calls you his favorite. Oh, I got slides. I'm sorry. Somewhere. Living. We're talking about living in the favor of God. Watch this verse. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. What does that Bible say? What does that word say? He what? Just may as well say it. I am surrounded by the favor of God. Say it again. I am surrounded by the favor of God. Now listen, it's one thing to say I'm a Christian. It's another thing to live like one. It's one thing to say that I'm a favorite, but it's another thing to live like one. It's another thing to say I am surrounded by his favor, and it's another thing to live out what you just said. And he wants us to take action in his favor. Surrounded. Listen. I'm surrounded. I am surrounded. I am surrounded by his favor. Whew. It's like a shield. What does a shield do? It protects you. Surrounded by his favor. You know, it's one thing to have 10 or 15 people surrounding you, right? And all of a sudden, you're what? Surrounded. You're surrounded. Oh, I'm surrounded. But guess what? I still need to what? Surrender. I need to surrender to being surrounded. I need to connect to what is surrounding me. I need to be engaged with the multitude, the awesome amount of his favor in my life. Mary got the word of favor, didn't she? He said, "Don't be afraid, Mary," right? "You are blessed, you are highly favored." And he began to see that what she was favored, the goodness of God and all the abundance of God has favored her. But what did she have to do? "Be it unto me according to your word." She was surrounded by the favor of God. And she said, "Be it unto me." Let favor be unto you according to what he has spoken. See, we have such a disconnection with God's favor that we think that he don't even know what's happening with us. He don't even know what we're going through. You know, and that's so untrue. Because he surrounded you by his favor. Says a good name is to be more desired than great riches. Favor is better than silver and gold. Now I just told all y'all what was better than your money. So we're gonna take up another offering. And see how much you believe it. I'm messing with you. That's what the Bible says. Favor. The favor of God is better to you than it is for you to have money in your pocket. Let that sink in. Yes. Just let that sink in. Because when you get down to not having enough money, guess what you got? I'm surrounded by favor. Well, how much money you got in your pocket? I don't have but $2, but I am surrounded by favor. Well, how are you going to make it? The favor of God. I'm his favorite. It's the favor of God that is on me. It's the favor of God that is surrounding me. It's the favor of God that is guarding me. Well, what about your money? I'm not thinking about the money right now. I'm thinking about the favor of God. His favor is for a little while. As long as you're alive on this earth, guess what you're surrounded by? Favor. His favor is for a lifetime. Yeah, but you don't know about this part. Not his favor is for a lifetime. So what is favor? We see the two versions. You know, God sees two versions of Abraham. He sees who he was at that time, and then he sees the version of Abraham that is forthcoming. God sees what you're going to be like in a short while. God's favor is what's going to give you the pathway to get there. But if you and I are not conscious of acknowledging the favor that is in our midst, like Abraham, he acknowledged the favor that was in his presence. But if we do not acknowledge the favor of God in our lives and on our lives, surrounding our lives, what is it that we're going to become? We won't become the version that he sees, even though he's at work of bringing you there. Raising our consciousness to be able to see the very favor of God. So what is this favor? The favor of God is intentional approval, acceptance, and provision given to someone. It's intentional approval. What does that mean? It means God approves of you. You're his child. You're his son. You're his daughter. God approves of you. And not, well, and I sort of like him. No. He intentionally approves of you. Not by accident. He intentionally accepts you just like you are. But his provision takes you from where you are to the version that he sees you becoming. So that's his favor. It's God's overflowing goodness, his overwhelming goodness toward you. The enemy will try to talk you out of believing God's good to you. He'll bring up excuses and begin to tell you things that if God really did love you, if God really did provide for you, you would not have experienced this and this and this. You ever heard it? Oh, I have. It's all lies. Because if you've already heard this morning, you heard it from in the song, and you already heard it from Pastor Terry Wilson talking about this thing about even the things that are not so good. He's using it. Why? Because he's making a better version of what you currently are right now. Working to the good of those who love God. That's the favor. The favor of God. God wants to declare something just like he did with Abraham. He wants to declare something and do something in the present and link it to your future. That's the reason God is present future. He wants to take what you're going through today and link it to you becoming what he already sees you being. That's his favor. But see, if we get disconnected from his goodness, that God's not good to us, that we have a bad father. We have a father who doesn't care for us. We have a father who doesn't like us. We have a father who doesn't, he's not around when I need him. He says, I'll never leave you. So if somebody's told you that he's not around, guess what? They're lying. Deceiving. But he's saying something to you in your now moment. Everybody say, my now moment. He's saying something to you in your now moment that is concerning, and he is going to link it to your future. That you can live it out. From your now moment, you're present with God, and he's talking to you, speaking to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Speaking to you inside about something that you need to walk in that you haven't walked in before. At the turning of this calendar that we see and have now in January, there is something that is going to happen to you that is going to speed up the process of you becoming the other version. And by the way, when you reach that version, guess what? There's another one coming. There's another version that's coming that's going to be better than you are in a year from now. Yeah, that's good stuff. There's always a better version of you that is forthcoming. Wife, look at your husband and say, thank God. Husband, you are wise if you remain quiet. There's always a better version of you that is forthcoming. Just around the corner, there's going to be a you that comes out that's going to be bold as a lion. And no matter what they're telling you, you're going to step up and step in and just do whatever it is that God wants you to do. Why? Because I'm surrounded by favor. Nehemiah saw the wall broken and his people being destroyed and scattered and all that. And he went to the king. He couldn't just leave. He went to the king because he was the cupbearer of the king. He went to the king and began to tell him. And he said, what is it that king, what is it you want from me? He said, I want the favor. And the favor, the goodness of the king, the acceptance and the approval of the king gave him passage through all the countries that he needed to go through without anybody hindering him. To give you access to where you need to go without anybody else hindering you because you're linked to the favor that God has spoken in your life. So my question is, what kind of favor do you need? What is it that you need right now in the favor of God? And he went and did everything, and even though he got criticized and everything, when he got there to rebuild the wall, he got so criticized by people. But he hung on to the favor of God, that God surrounded him with his goodness, his overwhelming goodness. To go in and see that the walls are crumbled and the gates are burned and Jerusalem is destroyed. And he walks through the rubble with God's favor in his heart. Seeing the smallness of who he is, but the bigness of who God is. And begins to rely upon all the resources that God says, I approve of you, I accept you, and I'll provide for you everything that you need that I'm sending you to do. But see, when we're disconnected from the favor of God in our person, God's favor surrounds us. We just don't believe it. We just haven't surrendered to it. We haven't engaged in his favor. You know, this verse over in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. From one image to, from the image of God that is from one version to another, to another, to another, to another, and it's all glory. It's all his character. And he goes on, we talked about this freedom, the freedom of the Lord. You know, and that's where that passage comes from. It's the freedom that we experience. So you just need to walk in and understand wherever you go, you're surrounded by favor. You just need to know wherever you're going, whether it's to school, whether it's at work, whether it's in your neighborhood, wherever you're going, you have the favor of God in your life. It doesn't give you cause to be arrogant. It should give you cause to be humble. But understand, no matter what I face, the favor of God has got this. God's goodness, his overwhelming goodness for me. When I go back and look at that passage again, listen, when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was raised, I was raised. When he had resurrection life, he gave me resurrection life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside me and living inside you. See, that's something I don't need to forget that. And I don't need to forget that he's good to me. God, you're good to me. Oh, Lord, you're good to me. You are good to me. You are good to this youngin. You are good. God has been good to me. And is good to me. And going to be good to me. I like that thing said, I'm beside myself. And every once in a while you have to do this and look over. You know, I'm beside myself. Why? It is his overwhelming goodness that is surrounding me. We're being given favor, we are not given favor because of who you are. Oh, you're very special. You got a lot of money. I'll give you favor. Nope. Not because of who you are. Oh, you're born into this family that's never sinned. No, that's not who you are. Or you're born in this family that they've been going to church ever since before you were born. So I'll give you favor. It's not given to you because of who you are. It's not given to you because of your performance. Oh, let's say you read your Bible today. You prayed a lot. You did this a lot. You went and visited the sick and you did this. Oh, I'm going to give you favor because of that. It has nothing to do with it. Everybody say nothing. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing. Two reasons why we've been given favor. One, because the Father's relationship with us in Christ. Christ is in us. Reason one, Christ is in us. Here comes the favor. So, reason number two, because of the Father's relationship with Christ in us. His relationship with us in Christ and his relationship with Christ in us. That's the reason we have favor. It's all because of Jesus. Don't lose sight of your favor. Stay engaged with your favor. We need to engage with this favor. When we do, we will have a deep, deep confidence in God's goodness toward us. Are you confident that God is good to you? That it's overflowing? That it's overwhelming sometimes about how good he really is? I think we lose that so many times. We see, that's great. Thank you, God. And it's almost like we give him a small little hand. And he said, no, this is my favor. We need to live in astonishment. We need to live in wow. We need to live in awe. They were in the first church, they were astonished at what God did in their midst. The favor that God had given them. When everybody wanted to kill them, the favor of God surrounded them. They lived, and it said they were amazed. And they were astonished at the goodness of God. Here's the question. Has your life of astonishment dwindled? Has your life of being in awe of God, has it dwindled? Sometimes we try to do things our own way and try to make things happen our own way and try to fix it our own way when God says, I've surrounded you with favor, son, daughter. I just want you to leverage. That's the word. I want you to leverage what I've given you. But I want you to see first that it came from me. And it's because I love you. And it's because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. That's the reason. That's the reason. I believe we're entering a season. Watch this. This is what the Lord dropped into me. I believe we're entering a season of enlargement. If we enlarge our vision, he will fill it with his favor. I'm telling you, the Spirit spoke to me about that, that there's an enlargement coming, but we have to extend the pegs of our tents. We have to say, wait a minute. There's more favor that needs to be filled up in this place. So I'm enlarging where I live. I'm enlarging what I'm doing with him in ministry. I'm enlarging this place, and he is going to fill it with favor. Why? It's our partnership with him. It's our being engaged with the favor of God that surrounds us. It's one thing to have all this approval and all this acceptance and all this provision, and then we sit down and say, what are we going to do today? I don't know. Ain't God good? Oh, yeah, he's good. He's good to me. Well, he saved me. That's all I need. Abraham saw the favor. Whoa! I recognize the favor. Hey, get some water, get some bread. Sarah, kill that lamb. Why? Favor is in the house. I recognize the favor on my life. Why? It compels you to do something for his glory. The reason we don't do things for his glory a lot of times is because we do not acknowledge his goodness and his favor in our lives to go be able to do it. Enlarge your vision, he'll fill it. When we learn to walk in his favor, his intentionality will become our reality. What he intends for you in that version will become the reality of you becoming. When you begin to walk in his goodness and his favor in your life, what he intended for you to be in your life, now you will become, it will be your reality. Oh. His favor is proof that his desire for us is to go beyond where we currently are.
Nah, I think I'll just stay where I'm at. Nobody's bothering me. That looks like it might be too much trouble. No, I'm not signing up for that. I'll just be right here. The bus is coming. Nah, somebody else. They can go do it. Listen.
God sees a whole new you that you haven't seen and you will not experience until you engage with his favor. How many of you, a man told me, he said, you charismatics are all about experiencing. And I said, well, yeah. Yeah, we sort of like experiences. Really? Well, y'all about experiences and we're about the word. And I said, well, have you ever experienced the word? Did you just read about salvation or did you experience salvation? I'm not the most popular fellow to talk to sometimes. Anyway, the favor is proof that his desire is for you to go beyond where you currently are. Within his favor dwells the ability to demonstrate heaven on earth as we live life astonished and amazed at his goodness. in his favor dwells the ability. That's the provision. The ability. I know I'm approved of God. I know I'm accepted of God. And I know he's provided for me at this very moment. I'm surrounded by that. I'm his favorite. I'm going to live demonstrating the awesomeness of who he is. I'm going to live with astonishment. Good gracious alive. Look at what I got. Look at what God has done. Look at what he's provided. My Lord, look at this, God. Would you look at it? Yeah, I know I gave it to you. Then you go tell others. You're just driven to tell others about his favor and about his good news. See, you know what a lot of Christians present to people? We got some okay news. And they look at you and say, yeah, excuse me, let me get my carrots. Why? It's not a good news to us. Why? It's lost its astonishment. It's lost the ability to see God's goodness, that you are born again because of his goodness. Wow, I like that. Wow. Say that backwards. Wow. Wow. Our circumstances, watch this, our circumstances are not a problem, not the problem. It's our limited perspective of God's favor on us in the midst of that problem. It is not the problem that is, the circumstances that is our problem. Well, what's your problem? Well, I got these circumstances. You know, and when we have that as our present vision, instead of having, wait a minute, I have unlimited resources of his approval, unlimited resources of his acceptance, and unlimited resources of his provision. What in the world do I have to get discouraged about? I'm his favorite. Ooh. Lift your vision higher. That's a song by Don Potter. Lift your vision higher and you'll see the Lord. We really need to lift our eyes to where our help comes from. The vision of God, the provision of God, the favor of God. We're learning how to view all of life through the lens of the goodness of God, which is his favor, his overwhelming goodness. How many of you are overwhelmed by his goodness? Give him praise. Give him praise. Well, that's the introduction. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Oh, he's good. Some of you need to re-see. You need to get connected. You need to be engaged. And you do need to use his favor as leverage. That's the reason he gave it to us. Not control, but leverage. To walk into places knowing that they're against you, but you got the courage to be able to walk in because you have something of God to tell them. Why? You're surrounded by favor. Stand to your feet. One last thing. If you're being governed by your past, you will not connect to his current favor for you. Why? Because you're being controlled by all this stuff that's in your past. God knows you have a past, but God fixed that. That's the reason the cross came into play. He's dealt with that past. He's dealt with it. Now you deal with it in his way. You're buried with him. You died with him. You're buried with him, and you've been raised with him in newness of life, with resurrection power and favor. His favor surrounded you to go and do the very things that he's putting you in. Have you ever had favor in wherever somebody gave you favor? Have you ever had somebody say, hey, can you do me a favor? You know what they're saying? Will you approve of me asking? Will you approve? Will you accept? And would you make the provision? Would you do me a favor? And then have you ever had, I'm going to return the favor? Like you bought my lunch and I'm going to return the favor and buy yours? Why? It's specifically done intentionally. It's intentional. It's not by accident. It's intentionally done to bless you with God's goodness. You ever had a consequence that is about to happen because of something, and all of a sudden favor showed up in your life? Now I'll share this brief. I really will. Doug Logan does not mind this, I know, but you know Doug was in prison one time. Doug will share it with, he'll share his testimony with you, you know, and then you go and look at this and you're worried about getting a job. You know, what am I going to do when I get a job? What am I going to do? How will they look at it? Because they're going to look at this and look at that. And then he's looking at all this and he just resigns himself to fix it and submits to God's favor, to God's goodness. God, if you want me to have a job, if you want me to be able to provide, if you want this, then you'll provide it for me. And what happens? He provided. Well, what did he provide? You go up to the courthouse today and look at Doug Logan's record. Gone. Expunged. It's like, gone. That is, the favor of God can do way beyond what you and I can think about doing. You ever needed favor from somebody who had the keys to lock you up? And all of a sudden you receive favor. Why? It's an overwhelming goodness of acceptance and approval to give you this. You certainly didn't earn it. Well, ain't he good? Are you connected to his favor today? Stay connected to his favor. If somebody here does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've played the part, but you say, you can now say, I really need Jesus in my life. I've really not done it with sincerity of heart. I really want to accept Christ. Is there anybody here who say, I really want to ask Jesus to come into my life? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. We're all his sons and daughters. We're all his people. Now, here's what you're going to do. You ready? You're going to make a connection with this message. Amen? You're going to make a connection with this message by the power of the Holy Spirit. He can only do it. I can't do it. But you can. So if this is you, that you want to re-engage with God's favor, here's what you got to do. I'm asking you to. Here's what you're going to do. I want to make a connection with this favor, and I'm going to do something that is actively going to connect me, that I'm saying, God, I'm connecting with your favor. When I say amen, you come and you touch the altar, and then you can leave. Just come and touch it and just say, God. Now listen, somebody said, well, can I connect to it without? Yes, you can. You just get to come up here and touch it. Listen, can I win the battle without shooting these arrows, Lord? Yes. No. So he told him to shoot the arrows. Engage with an activity that says, I'm connected to you. Are you ready? Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your favor. And we submit to your surrounded favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come quickly. Then you can leave. Touch it and leave. Touch it and leave.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.